Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Smoke News Radio. This is episode number 25. Tonight, we're going all the way from Norway to Alabama. My name is Jason Brodsky. I'm your host. Let's continue. The first article we have tonight is thegrowup.com. Written in early January of 2019, titled, "This Massive Underground Bunker in Norway is Keeping Your Safe, Your Weed Safe from the End of the World." It was designed to ensure that were the world ever to be hit by an apocalyptic scenario, the growth of key crops by humans would still be possible. But as well as vital stocks of rice, maize, barley, rye, rice, and beans, again rice obviously, the Svalbard Global Sea Vault, the so-called Doomsday Vault, in Norway's Svalbard Archipelago, also holds mead, lots and lots of mead, but not just any weed. This is some of the safest marijuana on earth. Concrete and the vault seeds are kept at 18 degrees Celsius and further protected by natural permafrost in an Arctic desert, 1,300 kilometers beyond the Arctic Circle. Further ensuring their safe storage, the site was deliberately picked because it's at low risk from earthquakes, rising seawater, and even political upheaval. In total, the vault holds seeds from over 4,000 species of plants, specially picked for their resistance to pest attack and disease. Its total seed samples number 860,000, but it has capacity to hold some 5 times that. Since the huge vault was built in 2008, it has been stacked with around 40 deposits of marijuana seeds provided by science bodies in Austria, Germany, Norway, Sweden, France, the Netherlands, and Poland. In total, 17 different countries provided smokable products, including North Korea. The vault's database, first explored by marijuana.com, doesn't break down which exact strains of weed are kept among its 39 on lockdown, but 8 are listed as hemp, the rest marijuana. In total, the bunker contains some 28,000 types of cannabis seeds. For more on the bunkers, 21,000 types of cannabis seeds, and how it's keeping your food and weed safe, agriculture depends on few major crops, perhaps fewer than you think. Wheat, maize, rice, and spam alone make up some 60% of what we consume. Over the past few decades, plant types have been disappearing at alarming rates, and scientists tasked with creating this potentially lifesaver call, their stocks with backup coppers. They have even made a very informative video about it. The permafrost, loss of plants and crops, of course, would be devastating to the human race. days arrived, it may be easier to get stoned than to get a smoothie. Want some fresh asparagus? Sorry, there's less than that than marijuana. Two artichokes, cranberries, or pears? Sorry, but there's more pot than all three of those put together. One warning, though. If you're in the mood for a smoke as the end of the world nears, you'd better remember what you stashed underground. Each gene bank that provides seeds still owns what it provided, and only that specific gene bank can remove its own particular seeds. All right. And good old Norway land legalized that a few years ago. In Alabama, happened down in these parts, something very reminiscent of the California medical marijuana movement. This is from AL.com, written by Mike Asson, titled "No Such Thing as Medical Marijuana." Alabama Cannabis Commission told. In September of 2019, sharp disagreements broke out at the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission during a meeting that also included testimony from four people about how medical marijuana relieved crippling pain and symptoms for them and their relatives. The legislature set up the commission to study whether Alabama should join 34 states in legalizing medical marijuana. The group met for the second time at the State House. Commission member Stephen Taylor, a child and adolescent psychiatrist and addiction psychiatrist, said marijuana is not a medicine, and that calling it medicine will lead more young people to use it with harmful effects. If it hasn't been validated as a medicine, we shouldn't be calling it medical marijuana or medical cannabis, Taylor said. And the idea that we would just put something out there and call it medicine for the people of our own state to use when it really isn't a legitimate medicine, that concerns me. That means that we are taking a chance of causing more harm than good. And that's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. Taylor pointed out that the U.S. Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, issued an advisory in August about the dangers of marijuana used by teens and pregnant women, and misconceptions about the safety of marijuana. Taylor's comments brought a response from Senator Tim Nelson, Republican Florence Chairman of the Medical Cannabis Commission and supporter of medical marijuana. Nelson, who is an anesthesiologist and medical researcher, said there are studies showing medical marijuana can help some patients, whether it's called medicine or not. What would you like to call it, Nelson said, because I can show you studies where it helps. So let's come up with a name that makes it everybody happy. Because a name is a name. It really doesn't matter. It's the results and the studies that show that it's been effective. So I don't care what you call it, but I'm going to tell you that I want to find a way to get it to people who need it and do it in a responsible way. Today's meeting drew a crowd that filled one of the larger committee rooms in the State House. The commission includes representatives from the fields of medicine, law enforcement, drug addiction treatment, agriculture, pharmacy, and others. I will make a recommendation to the legislature. Earlier this year, the Senate passed Nelson's bill to legalize medical marijuana to relieve symptoms for certain conditions. The bill met opposition in the House. The lawmakers changed it to create the study commission. Alice Socom of Alexander City told
the commission about her son, James Lovejoy, 37, who suffers from congenital rheumatic spinal condition that causes extreme pain. There is no cure. There is no conventional treatment that really helped James at all. The only option given to him was strong, addictive painkillers, which he would not take, Sophie said. Sophie said her son's condition worsened after he graduated from Georgia Tech and began his career as a CPA. She said it reached the point where he worked the flat on his back in his office because that posture gave him relief. Her son and his wife moved to Denver, and he was found relief from medical marijuana. Sokum said he still lives in Denver, where he can have his own CPA firm, Sokum said. He can shovel all the snow that falls out there. He can lift his 100-pound dog, and he can even play golf. James has a full life because of medical marijuana, but he can't have that full life in Alabama. The commission's next meeting will be in October. That was from ALNews.com from September 2019. No such thing as medical marijuana, Alabama Cannabis Commission was told. Tang, tang, tang. Nothing to do with it. Nothing. So, okay, so I've got to step back. From December 2017, almost like 2 years, 2 years and a half, Norway is planning to decriminalize drugs. Norway is to become the first Scandinavian country to decriminalize drugs as it focuses on treatment rather than punishment. The majority of the Norwegian parliament, the Storting, backed the historic shift, which was supported by conservatives, liberals, and the Labour Party and the socialist left. They directed the national government to reform its policies on drugs. Sylvain Celan, deputy chairman of the Storting Health Committee, told the Norwegian publication VG, "It is important to emphasize that we do not legalize cannabis and other drugs, but we decriminalize. The change will take some time, but that means a changed vision. Those who have a substance abuse problem should be treated as ill and not as criminals with classical sanctions such as fine and imprisonment." Nicholas Wilkinson, SP Party's health spokesman, told VG that Parliament's goal was to stop punishing people who struggle, but instead give them help and treatment. He added the aim is to transfer responsibility for drug policy from the justice system to the health system. The move follows the drug program from judicial control scheme to replace custodial sentences with treatment programs for drug addicts in the cities of Bergen and Oslo, launched in 2006, the scheme, billed as an alternative to detention in prison, was rolled out to all Norwegian courts last year. The goal is that more addicts will rid themselves of their drug dependency and fewer will return to crime. When the terms of the program are violated, the convicts must serve an ordinary prison term. Norway's country drug report released last year in 2014, the latest figures available, 266 died from drug-related deaths. The figures released by the cause of death register showed an increase from the year before, with opioids the most commonly involved drug. The Norwegian Health Committee is planning a trip to Portugal to decriminalize personal growth in the EU. And that was from independent.co.uk. Norway became first Scandinavian country to decriminalize drugs in a historic vote. And cannabis is this is okay. Wait, hold on. It's hard to find just Norway's. Like, hey, what's up, Norway? I'm gonna fly out over and ask you guys about marijuana. What's going on? Recently, the there's the main Norwegian groups. They got a lot of monies out there. Let's see. Okay. So from the pionline.com, from May 2019, Norway's sovereign wealth fund divests investments in medicinal pot. Written by Paulina Palishata. Read to you here on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Begins. Government Pension Fund Global Oslo has excluded investments in companies distributing marijuana for medicinal purposes, a spokeswoman has said. The 8.98 trillion Norwegian kroner, 1.1 trillion American sovereign wealth fund decided not to be invested in companies with direct exposure to medicinal cannabis after a total evaluation. The GPFG declined to disclose its motivations for excluding cannabis from its investments. Due to market sensitivity, we will not give any details on the assessment leading up to our investment decisions. GPFG invested at least 615 Norwegian kroner in the cannabis industry as of December 31st, though its exposure to shares of Aurora Cannabis, Ug Eng, Guinness Therapeutics, and Scott's Miracle-Gro. As from Pensions and Investments Online, in May, and also happening out here in Norway, the arrests made after Norway House RCMP seized cocaine marijuana at traffic stops from the globalnews.ca from the end of December, and traffic stops. They find seize approximately a kilogram cocaine and 45-year-old woman charged with that. Then just after midnight on the 28th, another traffic stop, somebody threw four kilograms of marijuana out the window and a large amount of money. And the police stopped them and took their old cheesy iPhone. Ages, they were 24, 25, and 27 with the marijuana and the money and the gun, pack of smokes, and either iPhone SE or iPhone 5. And then these other, I don't know the white bundles were, I'm just going to pretend those were baggies ready to be used. And then the first guys ordered people. 4745 So let's see. This one is really awesome, by the way. We're just going to jump into this right here. From ancientorigins.net. This is Norwegian Vikings cultivated cannabis by Thorn Roots. On a secluded Iron Age farm in southern Norway, archaeological findings show that it was common to cultivate cannabis in the Viking Age. The question is how the Vikings used the fibers, seeds, and oil from this versatile plant. For more than 50 years, samples from the archaeological first time that traces of cultivation this far back in time have been found, but still steadily stands out. In other cases, it has only made individual findings of pollen grains. Here, it is discovered very much more. Archaeologists and County Conservator Franz Arne Strigler told Ferencino Hepfield, Stostelli is located much less centrally than other places where similar findings have been made, indicating that cannabis cultivation was common throughout the Viking Age. Hemp is the same plant as the cannabis plant used for hashish production. It is, however, uncertain whether the Vikings used cannabis as a drug. The plant was most likely used for production of textiles and ropes. Previously, there were been findings of hemp seeds in eastern Norway, including Hamar municipality dating back to the 400s AD. In the Osenberg ship burial mound, a little leather pouch full of cannabis seeds was found. It belonged to an elderly woman aged between 70 and 80. The skeleton reveals that she had various health problems, but likely cancer that caused her death. It is not unlikely the seeds were used as painkillers. Scientists do not know if the Vikings used cannabis as a drug, and there are no sources that neither confirm nor deny if they did. Written by Wendy McCormick of ancientorigins.net, Norwegian Vikings cultivated cannabis. And here we go. This is from early in May 2019 out of Alabama. We got some more from AL.com, Alabama News. Action, go. A move to reduce the penalty for marijuana possession in Alabama stalled today, even after the bill was changed to say that the lesser penalty would apply to a much smaller amount of pot. The House Judiciary Committee voted 6-5 against the bill to make possession of 5 grams or less a violation, less than a misdemeanor, and punishable only by a fine. The bill initially said possession of an ounce or less would be a violation. At a meeting last week, some representatives said that was going too far in lessening the penalty. A subcommittee recommended dropping the amount to 5 grams, an ounce containing 28 grams. Still, some representatives said the bill went too far, noting that possession of 5 grams or less would be a violation even on multiple repeat offenses. Voting against the bill were Republicans Dickie Drake, Republican leads Alan Farley, Public McCullough, David Falker, Martin Brook, Mike Holmes, Philip Petus, Rapunzka, Killen, Matt Simpson, Danny Fain. Voting for the bill, chairman's people. And then Huntsville, Laura Hall, sponsor of the bill, said she was disappointed because the changes in the bill were passed on recommendations from law enforcement at a subcommittee meeting on Tuesday. I really left the meeting thinking they were reduced the amount, that it was agreeable, and that was it. But obviously, I missed the part of another conversation. Hall said she was not giving up on the bill, and would request meetings next week with prosecutors, law enforcement, or others who have concerns about it. Under current law, possession of marijuana for personal use is a misdemeanor, rises to a felony on a second offense. Under Hall's bill, as amended today, amounts more than 5 grams up to an ounce would be a misdemeanor amount. More than an ounce would be a felony. From AL.com, May 2019, live and direct, what are these people doing out here in this world? So here we go. From June 2019, AL.com, brought to you by, written by Andrew Sorrell. Words. Alabama legislator Sorrell, it's time to clear the smoke on medical marijuana. Title. Radio station, Smoke News Radio, episode 25. Host, Jason Brodsky. Meat of the article. It's no secret that Alabama legislature has been a very productive past few weeks. Among the accomplishments of this legislature session is Governor Ivey's signing of SB 236, a bill renewing Carney's law establishing a new medical marijuana research commission and making cannabidiol CBD oil available for children with seizures. All everyone can agree that SB 236 is a step in the right direction. It also represents a lot of work left to be done. This is because the bill signed into law Monday represents a compromise form of the vision initially proposed by Senator Tim Nelson and others. Under the original bill, Alabama would have become the 34th state to adopt medical marijuana. Doctors could have prescribed the use of cannabis to treat symptoms associated with about a dozen marijuana conditions, ranging from degenerative neurological and muscle disorders to opioid addiction, HIV, AIDS, and cancer. Instead, we have what we now have is a diluted version that, had it not been met with fear and resistance in both chambers, would have helped even more people. I can give over 45,000 reasons for supporting Senator Nelson's original bill to legalize
positive report on medical benefits of cannabis, I'm confident that the continuation of this research will find even more reasons to make medical marijuana a reality for the Yellowhammer states. This was written by Andrew Sorrell in June 2019 from AL.com. It was titled Alabama Legislature Sorrell. It's time to clear the smoke on medical marijuana. Yeah, it's a good time. I'd like to encourage everyone. A quick moment. Listen to the crickets. What must the movements be? First, teach the brothers. Once that we have Alabama. For a quick second, I'll be believed. This one. Back to me, each important. .net. Written by Thorne. Dispute over evidence of cannabis use by Vikings in America. Cannabis discovered in each Viking settlement was generating differences in the opinion as to whether the Vikings were smoking than was it. Discovered in the late 1960s, or dated to around the year 1000 AD. Leon Sachmedel is an ancient Viking archaeological site located off the northern tip of the Great Wall in Sweden on the island of Newfoundland. This report on the post of the ancient world region empire is only confirmed evidence of pre-Columbian transition. And it was named a world heritage site by UNESCO in 1978. Traditionally, archaeology
they shared this article. The food sources were caribou, fish, and seals. And hunting on caribou and decreased the population we found in the forest coastal territories. New ecosystems was led to their extinction. So they're much. They say at some point there was hemp or hemp-like seeds, and through previous things that's also known as hops. So it could be hops pollen that they didn't not talk about it, meaning they're just ignoring it. It's, hops is very, very important. But let's say we're going to sail. Let's sail on the dailyherald.sx. This is one titled The Con Tiki Expedition from September 2019. The Con Tiki Expedition took place in 1947 with five Norwegian men, a Swedish man, and a parrot called Dorita. Thor Heyerdahl loved zoology when he was a child. When he grew to adulthood, he went to the isolated Pacific Island groups to study how the local animals had found their way there. Thor's first expedition was to the Polynesian Islands. Here, he was a popular man and taken under the wing of the Supreme King of Tahiti, Kiri Roo. Thor lived with the people for more than 1 year. He lived just as they did, experiencing a traditional Polynesian life. Believed that people living on these islands got there from Asia about 6,000 years ago. But while there, Thor began to think that the people actually got there from South America. He discovered South American artifacts and tools on these islands. He also found out that the sweet potato grown on the islands was the same species as the one from South America. Most scientists thought he had got it wrong, so he set out to prove his point. Thor was very afraid of the water, and when he was growing up, he had to overcome this fear as an adult, because most of his expeditions involved traveling by raft and boat. After a lot of trials, he finally set from Peru with five other adventurers on a raft built in a native style from balsa wood, bamboo, and hemp. His main aim for this expedition was to show that people from the pre-Columbian era could make a seaworthy raft using only the materials and technologies of that far-off time. For his raft did carry modern equipment so they could record what took place as they crossed the ocean. First, Thor had to find crew members who believed in what he wanted to do. With these crew members, he set off to Ecuador to cut down large balsa wood trees. Then they had to get the huge trunks to Peru, where they built the raft with the vines and the palm fiber, banana leaves, and hemp. They used no modern tools or materials like nails, bolts, or fiberglass to build this raft. The idea was to use only the wind and the current to guide this makeshift raft all the way across the South Pacific. The design used was taken from illustrations of ancient indigenous Peruvian ships that were put down in the records of the Spanish conquistadors. There were no nails, bolts, or fiberglass used. The crew literally lashed tree trunks together with ropes. Cheers. they built a small shelter on top of the raft from bamboo with a thatched banana leaf roof and fitted a mast to take a large canvas sail. What they did not do was make a happy steering this raft. Thor's idea was about the original way the people got across the ocean was only by drifting with the currents and the wind that always happened at that time of year they set off. After traveling 6,700 kilometers and taking 101 days, as 3 months of living close to nature with whatever the weather threw at them, they made landfall by crashing into a reef on an uninhabited atoll. The food the sailors took with them was both the modern and the old kind of food. Fresh water, they also stored the modern way and the old way. Food was mostly ration packs supplied by the U.S. Army. The foods the sailors took with them, they believed the ancient sailors would have included were coconuts, sweet potatoes, root vegetables, and various fruits. They had plenty of time for fishing using harpoons, so their diet mostly fish of all kinds that are found in the Pacific Ocean. There is a story they tell of seeing a shark swim under the raft. It was so big they could see the head of one side and the tail of the other. Was it a whale shark, perhaps? After success with the raft expedition, Thor also wanted to prove his theory that Egyptians built a papyrus reed ship and sailed it to the Caribbean. His first attempt failed. And after the sailors had to be rescued by a passing yacht, then he tried again and made the trip from the west coast of Africa to Barbados. The two reed ships were called Ra 1 and Ra 2. Not all scientists agree with the theory that South Americans sailed from the Pacific Ocean, across the Pacific Ocean. If they did not, then Thor and his crew were the first to have ever done so. That was from DailyHerald.sx about the Kon-Tiki expedition from September 29th. A little update on that and the glorified use during their run over the ocean. You know, what are you going to do? Well, you're not in the ocean. You're on the beach. So here we got from Newsweek out in May, June of this year. Newsweek is talking about video stuff, main video. Okay. More than 1 million worth of illegal drugs washed up on an Alabama beach before Memorial Day weekend, according to police. Orange Beach Police Lieutenant Carl Bradley told NBC15 that members of the public found packets of cocaine and marijuana washed up in the shore last week between the Leilani condominiums, the complex, and Phoenix X condominiums complex, around a 15-minute walk away. According to Bradley, some 21 pounds of cannabis and a kilo of cannabis were discovered, followed by 38 kilos of cocaine on another day. The narcotics had a street value of more than $1 million. And currently, at your local Alabama police and her old line.
All right. Because Alabama's rocking it. What you're doing with the hemp, with the Alabama.com, you've got in September, Alabama's hemp is passing the low THC test, unlike Hawaii's set. Written by Greg Garrison, state inspectors have been taking samples from Alabama hemp growers producing their first crops of newly legalized plants. So far, samples of hemp have been taken from 45 licensed growers, and all have tested below the 0.3 THC level as required by law, said Alabama Agriculture Commissioner Rick Pate. Some growers had earlier expressed worries that their entire hemp crop would be destroyed if some of their plants tested above the legal THC limit. Like Hawaii, they are resting easier now. They are farming hemp for CBD oil or cannabidiol, which is purported to have a variety of positive health effects, and is now widely legal. Dozens of licensed farmers across Alabama this spring planted the state's first legal hemp crop since 1937. As part of the state's industrial hemp research pilot program. About 5 hemp growers, mostly in South Alabama, have already harvested some or all of their hemp. Pate said the next step is to send it to a processor to return into CBD. Some are planning to use in-state processors. Some are sending their hemp oil out of state to be processed, Pate said. Alabama has already posted its deadline for hemp growers to register for next year, and it includes a requirement that all growers submit a criminal background check that's in accordance with the latest farm bill. That's not our rule, that's federal law, Pate said. Not because any growers have violated laws. We haven't had any problem. State Agricultural Commission has worked with the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency to make sure there are no problems with growing hemp. Both are cannabis plants, but industrial hemp is bred to be low in THC. We have kept the ELU informed all along. Most of the licensed hemp growers in Alabama have success producing a crop. Ed Glaze says this is right around when it should be harvested, and it's also the time we run out of rain. Right now, these plants are wanting their 6 inches of rain, and the forecast is nothing but sun for a week. I would love to have some rain. But Johnson said his hemp has done well. Many use his techniques for growing flowers. We're growing 3-gallon pots that begin to flower. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Smoke News Radio. Your host, Jason Brodsky, reading you news articles I find on the internet, and I hopefully give a good amount of props to people out there that put together such wonderful research and give me such wonderful things to speak. Thank you. Here's Jack Johnson. Take it away, sir.
A 1 billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's side. Well, mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear, so baby, close your ears. On the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. The mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby.